Ladies and gentlemen, and fellow golfers, for your entertainment.
It's the Golf to Go Hour with Frank LaRosa, brought to you by the Hagen Oaks Golf Super Shop, America's most awarded golf facility. Naturewood Home Furnishings, where it's all about choices and always about quality.
Welcome into another edition of the Golf to Go Radio Hour here on Sactown Sports 1140. Hello, everyone. I'm Frank LaRosa, along with Scott Marsh, as we do every week. And Scott, you went down to do a basketball game in Southern California. You got a chance to play some golf down there.
I did. Yeah, I was in beautiful Santa Barbara. And of course, there's the just the great Sandpiper Golf Course, which is right on the ocean there. Got a chance to play that. I am bringing my golf clubs everywhere I go now, Frank. So it's been great. I played Torrey Pines when we were in San Diego. I played Sandpiper in Santa Barbara. And when we go to Cal Poly, I'm looking forward to playing Morro Bay. So I'm making my way up the coast.
That sounds great. You know, I had a chance to play Sandpiper once and was just blown away at majesty was the word that was coming to mind. I mean, you're right along the ocean on some of those. I don't know whether it's a par five or par four that goes along
there's
the ocean.
There's a par five 13. Honestly, the cliff views, and it's a little overstated, but it does remind me of 18 at Pebble.
Yeah. And then that par three, that downhill par three.
Number 11.
Into the ocean.
Boy, yep.
Some pretty spectacular golf there.
Yeah, no, it's a beautiful course. You don't hear a lot about it, but as you know, it's ranked as one of the top ocean courses in California.
So. Yeah, and why wouldn't it be? Well, we have another show, another Golf to Go Radio Hour. And with us today is Mr. Jim McCabe. And Jim is a PGA Tour freelancer. He worked for the Boston Globe for many years, Golf Week magazine. He now does a digital newsletter called powerfades.com, which is where I kind of became familiar with him. I was reading them and really got into his front nine musings. I thought that little points that as you're walking around and you have these aha moments, and Jim has kind of put those on paper. I think they're pretty cool.
Yeah, it'll be great to talk to him. We know he's heading to the Masters in a few weeks as well.
Jared Butts is the head golf coach at Will Robbins Golf and a multiple award winner. Not only that, but Jared is a really, really good guy. And my guess is that when parents bring their children to Will Robbins Golf for a lesson with Jared, that they walk away with a sense of confidence and a really good feeling about the kinds of lessons their children are going to learn with him.
Yeah, looking forward to it. And it's all ages as well. And, it's great that we have so many resources in our area. I mean, they're based at Empire Ranch in Folsom and just another great, great Sacramento resource for golf.
I don't think people recognize how huge golf is, especially junior golf and the whole let's get into the game kind of programs that are here in Northern California. When you go around the country, certainly they're everywhere, but we have a really, really huge base of golfers in Northern California.
No doubt. I'll start with Ken Morton and Say Golf, and that, became first tee with the Sacramento chapter, maybe being the best in the entire country. We're really lucky to live here.
Fortunate as well. Yes. The farther away you get from Sacramento, the more you find out how important we are. We will be back with more and get this Golf to Go Radio Hour started right after these messages.
It's the Golf to Go Hour with Frank LaRosa on Sactown Sports.
Golf to Go Radio Hour continues right here on Sactown Sports 1140. Let's welcome in Mr. Jared Butts. Jared is the head golf coach at Will Robbins Golf. And Jared and I met last year, I think. And I was pretty impressed not only with what he does for a living, but his ability to talk about it. And Scott and I thought it'd be great to have him on the show. Jared, how are you? Welcome to the show.
It's great to be here. Just a pleasure to get on with you guys. Longtime listener, first time caller.
Glad to hear it. You're very humble, but one of the places that we spent some time together was at the Northern California PGA Awards banquet, because you were the 2022 NCPGA Player Development Award winner. And I thought that was pretty good. But even since that, Golf Digest magazine included you in their Best Young Teachers in America for 21-22. Congratulations. That's pretty good stuff.
Hey, thank you. I couldn't do it without, obviously, a support system that starts from, you know, my wife and family. Family back in Ohio that allowed me the opportunity to come out to California, their baby boy, move all the way across the country and get hooked up with Will Robbins. And it's been a dream come true ever since. And just very honored by the awards that, you know, have my name on it, but it's a team award. I couldn't do it without my staff of coaches and obviously the support of all the parents and the players that trust us with their young people. And it's just been, again, a dream come true.
You know, trust is, you know, that's a pretty powerful word. And the notion that the parents are bringing their children to you and saying, help them with their game. But it's not just their game. I mean, my guess is that, you know, there's some life skills involved and there's some, you know, some mental coaching and some, you know, some support across the board. So, you know, that's a great compliment that parents are willing to let you do that with their child.
Absolutely. And what differentiates us a little bit at Will Robbins Golf is one of our main mottos and our mission is making champions in golf and life. And so it's not just the golf component. Now, we all know as golfers, some of the life skills with honesty and integrity and, you know, respect that come with just playing the game of golf. But we really see it as, do we coach some absolutely amazing golfers? Yes. But we also have some just absolutely amazing human beings. And so, you know, one big part of something that we do is we have a lot of our players that go that sign college scholarships. They come back and they coach up with us and for us. And it's just so great to see these people. One's working for a Fortune 500 company now and how they've used golf to better themselves and their life. And it doesn't mean that it's, hey, I got to make it on the PGA Tour or LPGA Tour or bust. It's I come to Will Robbins Golf. I become a better person and I use golf to learn these values. Again, which, like you said, the parents trusting us in that they're on board. That's where it starts with that open and honest communication right from the beginning that we really want to bring the parents in. And it takes a team. You know, they say it takes a village to raise some of these kids. And we believe that we're just very lucky and fortunate that these parents allow us that opportunity.
You know, you may have already answered the question in just now, but I was going to ask you what really is player development, because to me, it's not just teaching you how to hit a 7-iron. It's developing the whole person, and in that regard, that's in my mind a much more substantial, valuable kind of an award to win, rather than just being a golf coach. In effect.
Absolutely. And, you know, we don't just teach young people, we teach some older people as well. So we teach adults. And I think one thing that, you know, again, that puts us stands out a little bit is that we really will sit down and take the time to get to know the person and what golf means to them and what their goals are. It's not my goal. It's their goal. So really talk to them. That might be, you know, wanting to break 100 for the first time. Or I teach a bunch of ladies that want to just be able to get out there and they want to play with their kids and they want to play as a family. And so aligning our coaching experience with what that person, that individual's goals are, instead of saying, hey, you're going to come do this and we're going to teach you grip, posture, alignment, and we're going to do it in this way. It's like, well, no, did you actually talk to that person first and see what they wanted to get out of this experience? Because you got to think of it from that side of you. It's kind of intimidating sometimes to go and get a golf lesson. And so to just put yourself out there in that vulnerability to say, hey, I need help with this. That's a big step for them. So we kind of want to meet them in the middle and say, okay, well, now how can we be of help to you?
You know, going back a little bit, you talked about being from Ohio. I did a little research. You were quite the player. You have a pretty strong career behind you there.
Yeah, Ohio was great. I owe that a lot to my head coach back there, Brian Barnett. He started us. My dad was a football coach, a basketball coach, and everything. And as soon as my brother and I started an interest in golf, probably because we were tiny little human beings and couldn't play football, is that he got us lessons with Brian Barnett, and he took me under his wing right from the beginning. But then, you know, my parents just, again, being supportive. And my brother and I, super competitive with each other. He's 2 years older than me. And so we would go out there and have quite the matches against each other. And so a ton of fun, a ton of great memories back there in Ohio. I like to say that my brother set all the high school records, and then I broke them all. So that's how competitive we are still to this day. So I love looking back at it. But yeah, that was the start of where golf was. I always had the dream of wanting to move out to California for some reason. And you know, a couple years later, after multiple changes in majors and stuff, I found that opportunity. And here I am sitting on a call with you, Frank.
You know, it's been great for you in California with what you've done at Will Robbins School, and certainly the awards you've won and recognition of what, but I don't know, you know, what happened to you last week. Maybe somewhat of the pinnacle in terms of bucket list kinds of things. You had yourself quite a day at was that the Muni down in Monterey?
Yeah, just that little track down there. Now, I can't say it's the pinnacle, Frank, in case my wife and my kid might hear this show at some point. I'll have to say that maybe it's up there. But when you talk about dreams come true, yeah, I had a good 30-minute stretch there at Cypress Point, and hit enough good shots to go birdie on 15 and 16 there at Cypress, where, again, I mean, laying awake at 2 o'clock in the morning just dreaming of this since I was a kid, and then to be able to walk off and say I went 2-2 through 15 and 16, I couldn't even dreamt that up.
You know, I don't want to in any way, kind of horn in on your glory there. I have birdied 15 a couple of times myself, but I got to say, hats off on 16. I stand over that drive and think, you know, first of all, you got to get over the water, you know, and then you worry about putting. But that's really good golf. I'm very impressed, Scott. You know,
it's a special place.
Pardon me?
I said it's just a special place. To take that walk from 15 to 16, I just soaking it in and just, you know, just a kid on Christmas. And then to be able to hit that shot, I was like, okay, now I can take a breath. I don't know if I took a breath. I don't even want to know what my heart rate was during that time, but it was up there.
Scott, that's something for you to, to look forward to, or, you know, something to, to kind of try and emulate someday, huh?
Yeah. Mere mortals like myself just want a shot at 15 or 16, let alone try to birdie it like you two pioneers out there. So that's great. Congratulations on that. Jared, I just want to know what it was like playing at Ohio State, and obviously with Jack Nicklaus and that whole, you know, background, everything else. Maybe you can give us a little perspective on that.
Yeah, so I went to, after high school, I went down to the University of Cincinnati, and I tried to walk on there. I didn't make the team down at Cincinnati. So then I went back up to Ohio State, changed my major because it was closer to home. I actually didn't play golf at Ohio State. I went through professional golf management there. And so golf was, again, it was always a dream of mine. And I wish that I knew some of the things that I coach people now about. I thought I had to, in order to go PGA Tour, I had to go play D1. And so I had turned down some offers, to play smaller schools. But again, everything happens for a reason. That's a huge thing that I live by every day. And so if I didn't go to University of Cincinnati, the things didn't happen. I didn't take the next year off. I started playing some of my best golf after I came back from not making the college golf team, because just the weight off of my shoulders. And so that's one thing that I use my life lessons to help some of our young players, because I know that pressure that you're standing there on the seventh hole of a dual match in high school. That means nothing, but you think, I got to hit this shot inside 5 feet, because if I don't, I won't make birdie. If I don't make birdie on this hole, I won't earn a college scholarship. I won't X, Y, Z. And it's like, it's a 9-iron from 125 yards. Just hit the shot. And there's so much weight that once that weight was removed, I played some of my best golf. But yeah, when I got into the professional golf management school, and again, Jack Nicklaus is there talking with Jim Brown, the head coach for a long time. He had some local guys, John Cook, and hearing some of those stories, you know, it just gives you goosebumps, you know, just to be in that same area.
Yeah. Maybe you can talk about how you got connected with Will Robbins and what he's meant to you. There's a lot of our listeners who don't know Will Robbins at all. So maybe you can tell us.
Yeah. Absolutely. So, yeah. So as in the professional golf management there in Ohio State, you know, we always get, you know, internship opportunities. And so my internship director, Tim Kerr, I had always told him, I kind of wanted to always move out west. I didn't apply to a single school in Ohio because I was going to move out of the state in high school. But my mom told my dad, don't let my baby boy leave the state. And so he said, "House season Bengals tickets to University of if you go to the University of Cincinnati, house season Bengals tickets sound." And so since 2004, we've been season Bengal ticket holder, and you know the rest of the story for me. So I was there, but Tim knew I always wanted to move out west. So when an opportunity came from Will Robbins, Tim's like, "I think this is what you're looking for, and it's all teaching." And that's one big thing is I always wanted to get into the teaching side of things. I felt like I had some knowledge that I could, you know, make a difference. And my parents were both teachers. Everyone told me I was going to be a teacher. I said, no, I'm not going to be a teacher. So now I just teach golf. So they were right again. But that was 2012. I moved out here almost a year ago. Come March, or it'll be 11 years come March. Got hooked up with Will and started as an intern, and he said, "Hey, let's just keep it as an internship and we'll see if we like you and you like it." And like I said, 11 years have gone by and a lot of great things have happened. I mean, you know, for those of you that don't know Will, he's just an absolutely amazing human being. He's not just a mentor of mine, he's not just a partner of mine. He is, you know, a great friend. We care and respect each other. We work really well together because there's qualities that he has that I don't, and there's qualities that I have that he doesn't. So we really make a perfect fit, and it's been just a blessing.
And everything's based out at Empire Ranch in Folsom, correct?
Yeah, that's our main location there in Folsom at Empire Ranch. That's where it all started. We also do some coaching over in Lincoln at Turkey Creek as well. So it's been great to do that and expand to the Lincoln area and start with some coaching out that way.
Will, as every week we have a problem with time, we get short on it, but there's another couple of questions I want to ask you, kind of your quick response. First of all, if you had the opportunity, what would you change about the game, and is there something that needs to be changed?
The opportunity to change anything about the game of golf. One thing that I've said for a long time is I wish they would get rid of pars on the holes and just go with whoever had the lowest score. I think sometimes we get hung up on this is a par four or a par five, and this is how I have to play it. I wish that we would just step up there and say, this hole is in front of me, and I'm going to try to make the lowest score that I possibly can. But sometimes, especially for, you know, golfers, depending, it doesn't matter skill level, but it's a par five, so I have to hit driver than 3 wood.
Right.
Or it's a par four, I have to hit a driver and I have to knock my next shot on the green. No, just go out there and try to make the lowest score.
I love that answer. Secondly, and I've asked this question a lot because instructors see it more than others. What's the biggest mistake you see with amateurs?
I think that they might hear a little too much of the noise. And what I mean by that is, you know, if I go to the doctor, I'm going to trust my doctor to give me the best thing. Golf Magazine and Golf Digest and all those things. I think sometimes we watch too many YouTube videos to try to cure things and stuff instead of, hey, put your trust in somebody that does this for a living. Get yourself a coach that's invested in, you know, getting you to your goals. And start from the beginning. It's never too soon to get some lessons and get some advice. That's specific to you, not just kind of generalized on here's how you fix a slice.
So you're telling me that all of those voices in my head, I probably shouldn't be listening to, huh?
I mean, not all of them, just maybe a couple of them, Frank.
Jared, you're amazing. I appreciate you being with us. Jared Butts, the head golf coach at Will Robbins Golf, and go see him. He's a remarkable human being, and you do nothing but help you with your game.
Again, I thank you guys for the opportunity. Like I said, it's just it's been a dream come true, and I can't wait for what's next.
Golf to Go Radio Hour continues with more right after this.
It's the Golf to Go Hour with Frank LaRosa on Sactown Sports.
Golf to Go Radio Hour continues here on Sactown Sports 1140. Hi, I'm Frank LaRosa along with Scott Marsh, and we are going to welcome in Mr. Jim McCabe. Jim is a longtime golf writer with the Boston Globe and Golf Week magazine, and freelance with the PGA Tour, Masters.com. He's done it all, and currently he produces his own weekly digital newsletter called Power Fades, which can be found at powerfades.com. And that's how I found Jim. I was on his mailing list and would get his newsletter, and I was just really amused at something that he does at the end of his digital newsletter, but the beginning always has something about it's about love of the game, I suppose, if you had to put some kind of description on it. I'll let you tell me whether I'm right or wrong. Welcome in, Jim McCabe. How you doing?
I'm doing well, Frank. Thank you very much.
You know, powerfades.com, you have your nine. I know there's a title. What's the title?
I call them my front nine musings.
Musings, that's what it is. And you know, you read them and you just kind of nod your head and you go, well, yeah, of course. Those are things that I look at and I go, well, yeah, I mean, I thought that once. And they just seem like universal truths. And as a reader, you just have the impression, well, these are just rolling off the top of his head. How did those come to you? I got to believe that that's a lot of work doing those.
Yeah, sometimes they don't come to me as quickly as people might think. No, it's basically, I'm pretty committed to. I usually have a notebook, and I'm at home right now, so I have about 30 of them sitting on my desk here. But I usually bring a notebook one with me, and I'll be out playing golf, and it'll just something will occur to me, something that we always do in golf, and you know, my pet peeves. And you know, for instance, I am I'm a pet peeve with tees, and I've never understood why you take you get to the tee, you take one ball, one tee, you put in the ground, you hit the ball. Why do you leave the tee? And clearly, people do, because it's you need a trash bucket up there on every tee, you know, picking up the tees. So, okay, your tee breaks. It's your tee. Go in there and get it. And I always do remember a great friend of mine used to cut grass in the summer. And he would always tell me that one of the biggest, you know, pains for them was, you know, cutting the tee and going to run the blades, going over a tee marker. I mean, a broken tee or a full tee. So it's stuff like that. I'm like, pick up your tee, you know. And, you know, I love caddies. I think the game is always more enjoyable with a caddy. And I've often thought that I usually tell a caddy early on, I said, you know, I truly appreciate what you're going to do here and tell me yardages and everything, but just understand yardage doesn't mean a damn thing to me until we're inside about 170 yards, you know, 235 yards. I still need two shots to get there. But if you really love the game, I think, and you have a caddy, you hear stories. And it just always has appealed to me, the stories the caddies have, the way they tell it. So it's all stuff like that.
You know, you're right. Everybody has a story, and you would look at someone and, sometimes we just kind of pass by people and you really wonder what those stories are. And thankfully there's people like you that dig them out. As you can tell, Jim is a native New Englander, and he's still got that accent. And being born in Boston myself, I had it for a while, and over the years have certainly lost it. But it always makes me feel like home when I hear someone like you parking the car there, Jim.
Park our cars, and we have our chowder, and I can, you talk about stories. This absolutely happened. Obviously covering the PGA Tour for years, I flew a lot, I traveled a lot, and this part of the country, you go through Atlanta, you're always taking a Delta through Atlanta, and I'm flying, and I this time I was going to Atlanta, and I went upstairs, I followed the sign to the rental cars, and I got there, and they asked me, and I give my name, and she says, the woman turned out to be very, very comical, very personality driven, and says to me, "Can you tell me, Mr. McCabe, why are you here?" And I'm like, I have a rental. And she said, a rental? And it occurred to me, she wanted to hear me say it. I said, okay, I'm here to pick up my car. And she laughed. I just had to have you hear you say it. And I said, don't worry. A lot of people always ask me that. I probably have strong. I've been told I have a strong one, but so be it. If I do, I do. I'm too old to lose it.
It sounds good on you. Tell me a long, long time ago when little Jimmy McCabe was running around, how did you decide that that you were going to be a writer?
I loved it. I just loved, reading. And there weren't a lot of subjects in school that I did love. Gym was one of them. Lunch was another one. But English, I loved. I thought this was, how bad can this be? I got to read a book, read a paper. And then when it became, okay, now the other half of it was not right. Read the book, write a book, report. Okay. My dad was really not a greatly educated man back in the 40s. I think he left high school before he got through it. He was going to join the service, did not get in because of a medical issue with his heart. So, but he, what he did love is reading newspapers. So I know there's a whole generation of kids out there that the dinosaur stuff for them. You mean newspapers, but the Boston Globe, there was a daily and an evening. And, that's how the Herald was. It was also the Boston Record American. So we had newspapers all the time, and I loved them, and I did love sports. And I remember one night I came out of a Red Sox game, my dad, and it was the summertime, so we had the paper. As soon as you get out of the ball game, there's the paper. And, okay, I'm reading the paper, and I said, next morning I'm reading the morning paper, and I said, Dad, this guy's got all kinds of mistakes here. Good guy hitting a double. And it was not a double. It was a single, and he went to second on the throw. And there was another one. He gave him an RBI. It's not an RBI. They hit into a double play. You don't get credit for an RBI. And my father's just looking at me. He said, well, I think I was 13 years old or so. And he said, well, you think you're so smart, then you write your own story. And that started it. Every time we had season tickets, the Red Sox, and it was probably the year 1969, if I remember right. They won the pennant in 67. 69, they were always second best team in the East behind those dynamic Baltimore teams. But I did. I started. I'd go home. I'd write my own story. My father would read it. My mother would read it. And I kind of knew what I wanted to do. I just wanted to, you know, wanted to do that. I also had visions. I thought I was going to be a really great big time baseball player. I didn't quite get out of my high school. I played high school baseball, got to college, and I realized this isn't so much fun. But I did work. I went to a state school up in Massachusetts, and got really involved in the newspaper. Worked for the newspaper, wrote all the time, and I was hooked. I was going to go into journalism. I was going to be a sports writer. And it didn't matter all those aptitude tests that you would take where they said, you know, it's not a great career. There's not a lot of money in it. And I didn't care about that stuff. I knew what I was going to be. So I worked. I graduated college in May of 1978. I graduated college in May of, so it would have been 78. Yeah, high school in 74. And I worked for about 4 years at a weekly, 2 years at the, 3 years at the Boston Herald, and got hired at the Boston Globe in October of 1985. And I was on the desk. I was told by our boss that they had all the writers that they needed, but it got me in the door. And we certainly had a all-star lineup. The Globe's the only place I wanted to work. It was the best sports section in the country, in my opinion. A gentleman named Peter Gammon was our baseball writer. And my boss, Vince Doria, was just an all-world guy. He just looked at me and said, Jim, listen, I have Hall of Famers in every beat. You know, Will McDonough was football, Bob Ryan basketball, Peter Gammon's baseball, and Fran Rosa hockey. And the backups, you know, his expression was, Jimmy, my backups are better than everybody's A-team. He had Ron Borges on football, Jackie McMullen, Dan Shaughnessy, and Kevin DuPont. But it didn't discourage me because it got me in the door, and I was doing very, very well. And then in the early 1992, some kid from California came east. He played a junior, U.S. junior amateur, not 3 miles from where I'm sitting right now, at Wollaston Golf Club. Tiger Woods beat Mark Wilson. And I remember I told my boss, I said, you know, you do have to staff this. You gotta send some up and cover this kid. And he looked at me and goes, Jimmy, U.S. junior golf, I'm supposed to cover. I said, yes, this kid is going to be something else. We didn't really do the much with it, but he remembered that. And 3 years later, 1995, U.S. Amateurs at Newport, Rhode Island, and who, lo and behold, who's here and going to win it again is Tiger Woods. And my boss looked at me and goes, man, you kind of know what's going on out there. And I said, well, I just love it. And I was deeply invested in it, you know, passionately, and reading about it and studying it. And next thing you know, he said, listen, why don't you do a lot of local golf? We got no one covering local golf. So I started 94, 95, little 96. I was doing local golf for the Globe. And then I became the golf writer, with a huge help from Will McDonough, who took a shine to me. And he said, there's the guy that's going to cover golf for us, because we were looking for someone to cover golf. So I was like the B guy on the beat for a few years. And then 1999, I started doing it full time, and it was a beautiful ride.
Yeah, it sure has been. You know, you were a Red Sox season ticket holder. Scott over there is a Dodger fan, but you got to tell Scott that, that Fenway Park is the greatest ballpark ever built, right?
Fenway Park is unique. I will warn people. They might have, I'm not sure the angles to the park are crazy. Everybody wants to sit on the first base side because they can see everything in left field. You sit on the first base side, though, anything goes down in the right field corner. You never see the ball. Like all of a sudden, it comes thrown out. It's a thrill. It's a great stadium. I've been fortunate enough to go to Dodger Stadium. And, you know, my sons, I took them, my wife and I took them out in 07. We saw a Dodger game. We saw an Angels game. And my kids are looking around. They're like, how come everybody else has nice, big, beautiful stadiums? We have a little ballpark. I said, yeah, well, they've marketed Fenway pretty well. You know, they do a wonderful job marketing that place. So it's changed a lot underneath, but the field itself and the green monster is still pretty good spot.
What do you think, Scott?
Well, I've been to Fenway, and Fenway is absolutely amazing, and I've been able to see where Ted Williams hit his final home run and all that great stuff, but I'm still taking Dodger Stadium, Jim. Sorry about that.
That's all right. I've actually I've been to Dodger Stadium. It was thrilled. I have not been to Pittsburgh, and everybody, all my friends rave about Pittsburgh Stadium.
Yep.
I've been to Camden Yards. I like that a lot. And in fact, I think one of the saddest things going on in pro baseball is that the Orioles have been so bad for so long because, gosh, as a kid, that team was, they were the best team throughout the 70s into the early 80s. They were so good. Who knows? But yeah, I would say Fenway is an experience. It's worth the trip, but I would never. Never put myself out there and tell people it's the best stadium out there. It's just too many awkward seats. And they still got the post and you're behind the post and you can't see down. If you sit in left field, you can't see left field. If you sit in right field, you can't see down first base. You can't see that. So, but it's worth coming. So I'm glad you made that trip.
Jim, what's the best thing about the game of golf?
Golf? I think it's kind of a cliche, but it's a game of life, but a game for life. You truly can play it, you know, as long as you remain upright and healthy and you can walk and you can push a golf cart or, you know, a push cart, you can take a cart. You know, I prefer to walk, but I readily, you know, admit there are plenty of golf courses now that, you know, there's no way I'm walking Kapalua's plantation course or something like that. I think what appeals to me, and especially now that I've reached the age that I'm at, which is 66, is that there's great enjoyment at your own level. I mean, I say, you know, I can go out and shoot 86 and be happier about the way I play than the guy who goes out and shoots 73 or, you know, 74. And it's your expectations and what you get out of the game. And what I get out of the game is the companionship, the friendship, you know, the never-ending search for doing something well, and you come back, and I keep my score, I put them in, they're nothing to, you know, I'm never going to win a prize for them, but there's usually four or five holes that I come back, and I'm really thrilled that I play those holes well. It's just a game it's a game that, listen, I'd love to be playing baseball still. I'm not. I couldn't, you know, if you gave me, you know, a week, I don't think I could get nine guys together for one team, and that's only half a game.
There is that.
You know, we still play. We go out to play golf, and we have our own level. And I think the question that I, you know, as I get older, maybe a little more philosophical about it, because I laugh at some of my friends who, you know, I listen to this. Oh my God, they, you know, moan and groan about everything. I said, what are you out there for? What do you mean? What am I out here? Yeah, what are you out there for? And are you out there to enjoy yourself? Well, yeah, I try to. And I said, well, move up a tee, maybe move up two tees. Maybe lower your standards. You know, if you think you should be still shooting in the 70s or 80s and you're not, you know, it still enjoy it. I get thoroughly, so I just played out your way a couple of days. We played with really, really good friends. And, you know, all of us are, you know, we play at different levels. Some of my friends will still push back to the, if not the blacks, the very back, the tips. They'll go back. I tend to move up. And if I don't like where the white tees are, I'll go, you know, I'll play a golf course. It's 6,100 yards. I don't care. Mm-hmm. I'm out there to have fun. And golf gives me that, you know, 3.5, 4 hours, 5 hours sometimes to hang out with friends. And, you know, a lot of my people I play with are really good woman players. I love watching them play. I love seeing how the game is more inclusive than it was before. I think, you know, 15, 20 years ago, if I was at some of these municipal golf courses that I go, the tee times would be a little more divided up. You know, oh, you know, the women are going out later, the women already went out, blah, blah, blah. I play golf with a couple women that I look at them and I said, you're going to play the 6,400 yard tees. I'm playing the 6,100 yards. And I thoroughly don't care. I don't have that much pride that I think, oh, I, you know, I need to shoot a good round of golf today. I just get so much enjoyment out of talking to people while we play about different stuff. And, you know, I'm pretty quick to pick up, you know, if the guys I'm playing with are playing a particular hole well, and I'm not. I mean, I was just out in Bandon Dunes, and, you know, I just get consumed by the land and just knowing how the vision that was put into them. I'm quick to pick up, and I want to look over here at the cliffs. Golf to me is it's my life. You know, I'm glad that I'm in a position where I work more freelance now and more basically part time. You know, when I want to work, because it just affords me more time to play, and affords me more time to think about it. You know, and thinking how blessed I've been to go where I've gone and seen what I've seen and know who I know.
I think we forget that it's a game, and at the core, it's a game, and it's supposed to be fun. And the fun part kind of gets lost now and then, as you say, as you try to, you know, you just have to shoot a better score. And if you're not shooting a better score, then it was a miserable experience. And that's not the way to play.
No question. You know, we had a discussion. Excuse me. So when we were having breakfast the other day at Bandon Dunes with a gentleman who was telling a story, and it was pretty funny. He was like, he has this wonderful player who he teaches and instructs, and she was up there, and this woman, and she was complaining about her sand wedge. She's, you know, from like 65 yards out or something. She just wasn't hitting that sand wedge very well, or 80 yards out wasn't hitting it very well. And he said to her, why don't you hit a pitching wedge? And she said, well, it's a sand wedge. And he said, well, it doesn't have to be. It could be a 9-iron. And he said the damnedest thing. She just, you know, left. She was all more upset that she wasn't hitting the sand wedge that you know, to that distance. And he looked at me and he said that you lose sight of the fact that it's supposed to be fun. And it doesn't say on the scorecard, you know, on your when you're up in the tee, you have to hit a really good tee shot into the a driver into the fairway. It can say what it wants about whether it's a par four. Par four pars mean nothing to me. I know what they are, so I always have a image in my head how many I like to make and goal make Mac. I don't set out to shoot a number, but I don't understand the people that, you know, aren't having fun at it, because you're outside for the most part. It's a beautiful experience to be outside, and if you're not having fun at that, my goodness, what's happening?
I totally agree. Jim McCabe, powerfades.com. We just had some front nine musings with him. Jim, appreciate your time. Good luck with the weather back east, right? And I hope you get to play a lot of golf, and I hope we'll catch up with you soon down the road.
Thank you, Frank. Thank you, Scott.
Take care, Jim.
Take care.
Golf to Go Radio Hour, back with more right after this.
It's the Golf to Go Hour with Frank LaRosa on Sactown Sports.
Well, again, time is what rules us all, and we come to the end of another Golf to Go Radio Hour. And Scott, you know, I always learn something. What'd you learn today?
I learned that I could use a lot of help with my golf game, but I already knew that, actually. I'm really excited. I didn't know a lot about Will Robbins Golf, so I learned about that program. And again, it was great to have both Jim and Jared on today.
Yeah, you know, Jim is a fascinating guy, and you know, as someone has been writing for so long, he certainly has stories that we never got to. Jared, I just think he's probably one of our Northern California treasures, and you know, I think Will Robbins Golf and what he's doing there, they've got something good going.
Yeah, very impressive. And for those who are interested in getting more information about Will Robbins Golf, it's simple. Just go online, wrgolf.com. That's wrgolf.com.
Plans for golf this weekend?
I wish there was. I'm going to be in Southern California again, but it's a day game, so I won't be able to golf.
You got to find yourself a night course.
Exactly.
Scott, another Golf to Go Radio Hour in the books, and we'll do it again next week. Thanks for being with me.
Looking forward to doing next week's show. And Frank, always a pleasure to host the show with you.
Golf to Go Radio Hour, Sactown Sports 1140. Play the game. It is a game. Keep it in the fairway. Have some fun.